KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminary Lake Taps 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we've finally reached the part in my relationship where we can't decide on what to eat for food. I didn't think that day would come, but it's come, and it's kind of weird. Like, when we're together, typically my girlfriend and I will be like, yeah, sure, let's go to this place, and we'll just go to the place and get some food, right? Pretty simple. But the last couple of nights, our work schedules haven't lined up as usual, so we've had to figure out what we're going to eat over the phone. And you never realize how many options you have and don't have at 9 o'clock at night trying to talk on the phone. It's a weird little thing to navigate. But what isn't weird to navigate is this morning's show. It's going to be great. Not only do we have Matt from the Not Too Much With Us show here to talk about some geeky news with us this morning at 6:20, we have our friends from Waking Things coming in at 8 o'clock for a little interview. They're going to talk about their new album Details, and they've got a show coming up tomorrow. That's going to be at the Vera Project, and I'm super excited for that. Vera Project holds a special place in my heart. On top of that, you got your six-pack this morning. You have your chance at tickets, not only for 1OK Rock, but also to see Waking Things tomorrow night at the Vera Project. So I'm super excited about that. Those are two separate shows. But screw it. If you call in, we'll give you both. I'm really excited. It's Friday, too. Friday shows are always fun. So stay tuned to 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. Just to get you stoked on their new album, Details, I'm going to play a little song off of it. Let's play some Ghost Friends on 89.9 KGRG-FM. I'm really excited about this show, guys. It's going to be lit.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG-FM, you're listening to The Buzz. We got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, man. I'm sorry I questioned you on the phone, man. You just didn't sound like yourself. I thought you were like some kind of life model decoy or something.
I'm trying. Like, we haven't quite figured out the technology yet, but we're getting there. Maybe our next pledge drive or something.
You sound close, man. There's a lot to talk about, isn't there?
There's a ton to talk about.
Power Rangers? Come on.
We got Power Rangers. Yeah. And it was weirdly gritty.
It is, man. I mean, I'll tell you the only thing that I think is really strange is, like, Alpha threw me off a bit. Alpha's kind of weird looking.
Yeah, even from the concept photos I saw a while ago, it wasn't quite the Alpha I remember. And I'm not sure if that's, if I can complain that much or if that's for the best. I think if you were to go too close to the TV series, it wouldn't translate as well now than when it did in the 90s. I don't think that Alpha would have aged as well.
Yeah, in a way, maybe they put all their eggs in the right basket. Like, if you're going to pick that one moment to be cheesy in the movie, I think they came up with a new level of cheesy. Like, he's still cheesy, but he's different.
Oh, yeah.
So it worked for me. But, man, I'll tell you what, I was sick this week, so I got to, like, watch all kinds of stuff and catch up on the stuff. Power Rangers being one of it. And Logan.
Yes, we got a new Logan trailer, too, and that's another gritty one. We actually got our first actual look at X-22, right? Or 23. I get the numbers mixed
X-23.
Up. X-23.
It's X-23.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's exciting about X-23, man. I think this is where, of all the Wolverine or X-Men movies, it's going to be successful, is she's a really relatively new character. Because, like, Laura Kinney, I think? Like, she was, like, created in, like, for X-Men Evolution. That was, like, 2003, 2004. So even, like, the fan base for it, I feel like if they make any mistakes or do anything different with it, people are going to be more forgiving because it's not set so strongly in the comic book culture. You know, it's not as old of a character.
And I know that they're looking to do a X-Men reboot. Maybe that's where they kick it off. Maybe we'll see how well she gets received, and they'll start using her instead of, like, trying to do another spinoff of Xavier and crew. I wouldn't mind it because you have... You have a lot of X-Men you can play around with.
Yeah, you're talking about gritty, man. That is a gritty trailer. I never thought I'd see Xavier, man, drop the F-bomb, like, in a trailer. It's awesome, man. I don't know the character that well, so I was looking some up. She has, like, toe claws as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, except she has two on each hand instead of three.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, yeah, save the middle finger, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I think for me, this is going to, it will be, I think it's going to be the top line of Wolverine movies. I really do.
And Logan was always my favorite when he had that sort of, like, fatherly relationship with Rogue. Like, especially
right?
during the first movie, that was my favorite Logan because, yeah, he was this badass dude who wasn't afraid to kill people or even, like, stab him in between the legs. But once Rogue was involved, like, his dad instincts kicked in. And you sort of got, you had to peel him back a little bit. It was kind of nice.
It is nice, man. That first scene is great when he's like, stop. And then he like grabs a bag of like chips or whatever on the way out. Like he steals some stuff too. Like in the store in the beginning, like she's like taking a bunch of stuff and he stops her like she's in a rage. And then on the way out, like he grabs like additional stuff. Like he steals additional food in addition to the stuff she steals.
It's going to be a really nice movie. I'm excited for it. Something I wanted to talk to you about, following up something we talked about yesterday. How would you feel about a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover?
As far as, now are you talking like in cinema or just the comic book?
Oh no, in cinema. Like G.I. Joe 3 was originally planned as a crossover.
See, I didn't know that. Like I've been following now because like one of our buddy works at the comic book stores, but there's so many crossovers going over in the comic books right now. Like you have Wonder Woman, I mean, this sounds stupid, Wonder Woman and Scooby-Doo, but you got like G.I. Joe and Mask and Transformers. There's a lot more crossover. So, I mean, I think it's the future of what we're going to see in film. I mean, I'm cool with it.
I'm interested. It's weird that Paramount said they weren't ready for it, and it wouldn't be directed by Michael Bay either, which I think would be nice. And
These
would actually be humans that aren't just running around trying not to be squished. These would be humans that can hold their own too. I think my favorite it was a third Transformers movie where, yeah, you had Shia LaBeouf in there. Or no, was it the second or the third one? It might have been the second one. But like it was when you had the
Were the Dinobots in it? Were there Dinobots then?
No, it was the one before the Dinobots.
They were talking about the moon and
it was the third one. But you actually
that one had the best story.
You actually had a group of humans in there who like took the weaponry and knew what they were doing with it, instead of like the second one where it was, let's run around and not get killed.
Yeah, right. And the second one's the one where we were introduced to the Constructicons, right?
Yes.
That was horrible. Like, they just turned into, like, a big, like, I don't know what that thing was. But they were not, like, he had to come up with something similar to Constructicons. Like, Devastator was so awesome in the cartoons. Like, I think so many people were waiting for Devastator. And, like, that was, like, the biggest letdown in cinema for me, man. I don't know what that thing was, but it wasn't Devastator.
They weren't very good at paying off anything in general, even with the Dinobots. Like, yeah, they were there. And, yeah, you got to see Optimus Prime kind of ride one, but that was about it.
Well, and that's why I feel like it's not like any of these have been successes on, like, major successes on their own. So, yeah, cross them over. Cross the hell out of them. Like,
there you go.
Do you remember the series? Do you remember Mask? Do you remember the series at all, the cartoon?
Yes.
It was cheesy. I put that in there, too. I don't care. Put Mask in there, too, man. I'm excited.
Now, something that popped up yesterday was Guillermo del Toro posting up on Facebook and Twitter saying that if he got, like, over 100,000 responses, he would talk to Ron Perlman about bringing Hellboy back. And not only did he get that, but he got way past that. So we have the possibility of a Hellboy 3.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if Matt's listening. He's supposed to be listening. He said he'd tweet in, Matt, because he's got to be excited about this. I think he's excited about, we were both talking about how we were waiting for a third movie, man. I mean, if you need a third installment in a movie franchise, it's Hellboy.
No,
absolutely, man.
The second one weirdly wasn't my favorite. You got a lot more lore out of it, which was cool. And it was a really neat-looking movie, but it didn't have the same effect on me as the first one did. The first one seemed a little bit more cult.
I agree with it. My problem with it was same problem I had with Thor Dark World. Too many elves, man. I felt like something about that time, like, him fighting like a dark looking elf is just, there's too much elf. Maybe I was getting over Lord of the Rings or something, but it's just too much elfish fun going on. I didn't like the elf. What was his name? The villain in the second one? Do you know?
I don't remember his name, but all I remember was, like, him and his sister were some sort of, like, were physically linked.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird for me.
I didn't like it, yeah. The first one was definitely better. I think the third one will be, if they do it, I think it has a chance of being a lot better than the second one, man.
And the first one was great because not only did you get, like, the giant horns in there with his little burning crown, but, like, you got the Cthulhu-y monster dude, like, popping out. That was great. Like, I absolutely loved that movie.
And that was, like, one of the last, like, I can't say the last movies, but, like, I think one of the things about that movie that looked really cool is they used a lot of, like, practical effects in that movie that made it, like, bring it to the screen differently than you hadn't seen with comic book movies in a while. But, like, oh, God, it's got to rank. It's in my top 20 favorite comic book movies.
Oh, really?
The first one. Oh, yeah, the first one, yeah. And this might shock you. I'll take over Winter Soldier.
Wow. Because, yeah, that's one of those movies that'll pop up on, like, FX all the time every now and then. I'll just sort of sit down and find myself watching it. So that's great.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about sitting down and watching something. I'm just going to throw this out there. It's a weird one. I was sick all week. So, like I said, I was watching weird stuff. Did you get a chance to watch The Magicians on Netflix?
Yes, I actually watched all the way through it. And we have their new episode on the 25th, right?
Yeah, I'm at the point where people are turning into geese.
Turning into beasts?
Geese. I thought you said remember, geese. Like,
oh, right. Yeah, my girlfriend actually just watched the episode.
Wow, where do you come from? You are so terrifying.
Like, hi, Danica.
Thank you.
Hey, no, good morning. That's so awesome. So, yeah, they turn to geese, right? They turn to geese.
Yes.
That's where I left off.
That it's next like episode is my favorite.
Oh, man, I'm excited. I think of it as like a Harry Potter meets Dawson's Creek meets Matrix.
I want that.
It gets...
Do you like that?
I want that.
It gets a little bit more Narnia-y, which I'm not complaining either. It's great. I'm not sure how much the new trailers have spoiled it for you, but things get a lot weirder and it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, see, because I was worried. Like, I have to say, the episode left off fine. I'm like, oh, man, like, the people are with the people you kind of expected they were going to be with. Like, I want to break away from that a little bit.
You'll be surprised. You'll be really surprised by the end of the first season.
Because when you leave off and they're like, hey, let's get naked and turn into birds, like, there's got to be somewhere higher to go from that, man. Like, I mean, that's just my personal life philosophy with movies or TV series.
I mean, birds. You're basically jumping the shark at that point, right? Or jumping the bird?
Right. And I'm like, watching, I'm like, wow, yeah, they all like fly off in a flock.
No, the next episode from the one you're at introduces my favorite character in the entire series. And
really?
Yeah. You only see him this one episode this season, and I can't see him being brought back in the second season at all. So he's just sort of a one-shot character, but he is my absolute favorite.
Do you remember how many episodes are up, like, right now? Like, I don't remember looking ahead of how many episodes there are.
I know the entire series is on there. I can't remember how many episodes that is, though. I want to say it's at least 10 or 12.
Well, that's cool. Because once in a while, the shock is like 10 or something. Or, I mean, it'd be nice if I got 12 out of it.
And these are, like, entire one-hour episodes, too. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see this new episode because the way things were left off in the season finale, I want to know how they go from, like, that point A to point B where they're at now. They've spoiled a lot with these trailers, and that's not something I'm a big fan of. I think that Walking Dead did a really good job with between their season finale last season and their season premiere this season of teasing a lot of things, and they gave you some shots at some people you know weren't going to die, but when it came to characters who were in that lineup, you didn't know.
Right. So, yeah. I'll tell you what, Walking Dead this season, just as a general comment, I think it's one of my favorite segues into a season. I really like it. A lot of people have said there's dry spots, but God, man, I will... Negan for life, man. I love Negan.
I gotta catch up. Negan. I'm so far behind.
Well, they were...
Fast. Yeah.
There was a statement put out from the Walking Dead crew saying that because of complaints of how brutal of a character Negan was... Just on his own, they've had to tone back the violence.
I'm
disappointed.
Yeah. And then people complain there's not enough violence. It's perfect. Like, I love it. I told you, they can kill everybody, man. He can take over the show, and it can be him and Kyle, and I'll still watch it.
I'd even, like, I'd love seeing Negan just adopt Carl, too. Like, that...
Right.
Well, that one episode, it was right before... It was either the mid-season finale or the episode before, where it was just, like, Negan and Carl hanging out. My favorite episode ever.
Yes, you're right. And think about it. Could you honestly say, like, last season you wanted to see anything more with Kyle? Like, they could have killed him seasons ago, as far as I'm concerned. But, like, now, like, the two of them are, like, the best dynamics in the show.
And just the whole, your dad should be teaching you this stuff, kid. It's like, oh, my God. This is great.
And this sounds sick. You never see it on TV, but I still believe, like, the only way that, like, it makes sense to me that the crew would come back and be able to, like, mentally get up to, like, I mean, they already said, okay, we're going to go take him on. But it's not believable to me. Like, the only way after all that, like, for you to come back and say we're going to go back after Negan is, like, him killing the baby. Like, as terrible as that is, like, it would almost make the most sense in the show. Like, that's the only thing I think that would have gotten them to be mentally stable enough to, like, take on Negan. Because he, like, mind-tripped them so hard that, like, I can't believe all of a sudden there's, like, oh, you know what, by the way, let's just go get him now. You know? It's kind of weak how they said, let's just rally up now and get Negan.
Well, do we want to start putting bets on how long we think the baby's going to last? Because I'm surprised the baby has lasted this long. Typically, babies are just sort of like...
lunch.
Zombie snacks, right?
Oh, yeah, they're salami, yeah.
I'm even thinking salami. Back to, like, Dawn of the Dead, where the baby started out as a zombie.
Oh, yeah. Adana, do you like salami?
Salami's great.
Zombie salami?
I thought you were sure. you sound like you're, like, in on that when I mentioned it.
We're all about the salami.
But I'll tell you what, if you're not about salami, are you guys, this is important. I mean, we just had Martin Luther King Day, but here's another date for you. On January 26th, do you guys know what happens on January 26th?
I don't know.
Taco Bell releases its naked chicken chalupa.
That's when it's getting released.
Like, as far as I can tell.
We saw the article about it.
Yeah, I got real excited.
I still couldn't think it was real. But they're going for it. It almost reminds me of, it was a few years back when KFC released the, like, instead of using patties, they used pieces of chicken, and then they, like, stuffed bacon in between.
I remember that.
Oh, man, I never had that. That sounds awesome.
It was definitely really good hangover food, but I wouldn't recommend it sober.
Here, Mexican breading over non-antibiotic pure white chicken with lettuce, tomato, and avocado ranch sauce.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's how you start a Friday off, man. Let me tell you.
You and Matt almost should, like, make a video of, like, a tasting. Like, you guys should do first reaction video.
That'd be
video.
Cool. You should do that.
God bless America, you're right. I'll tell you what, we're close to going live, and if the timing worked out, because you know what else I found, which got me way too excited? I went to Walmart the one day, and they had, like, an overstock of Crystal Pepsi. And I told Matt, like, I'm just taking my credit card, and I'm, like, unloading.
I know a ton of people who did that with Baja Blast when they released it in cans.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time. Blast.
One of my coworkers was just like, all right, I got 3 12-packs in my trunk. I'm just always ready to go.
I remember when I worked at Kohl's, they put it in the vending machine there, and I was like, I'm so happy.
Oh, I absolutely. I feel you on that one. Game Fuel, on the other hand. You ever have the different Game Fuels that Mountain Dew came out with?
No.
I did, like, Livewire, and that was about it, because I like orange soda.
Yeah. It's, like, hard stuff, man. Like, I'll tell you what, like, maybe it's because I'm not a gamer that it doesn't work for me, but, like, I remember we got together once. Like, we play, like, we're nerdy, and we play, like, Star Wars role games that we, like, create ourselves. So we all got together, and we were drinking this Game Fuel, and I swear to God, you could feel your heart in your throat. There's, like, that much caffeine and sugar. And, like, I can do, like, certain monster drinks. But, man, it's, like, the craziest stuff I've ever had. Their Game Fuel is, like, wow.
No, there's
crazy.
Another story I wanted to talk to you about. It's about The Rock. He's getting two movies. So he's getting a solo Black Adam, and he's getting Shazam. Do you think that's too much Rock?
No. It's, you talk about being a master of segue, man. You just did it. Because I'll tell you what, one of the best, I know some people don't get an animated movie, one of the best animated movies I just watched was Moana. And man, Rock, I did not know The Rock can sing.
I haven't seen this movie yet.
It is awesome. For an animated movie, which is like, animated movies now are like baloney. And like now, Moana is like, you took the salami and you took turkey and ham and Swiss cheese and you put it in some nice chewy, like crusted Italian bread. Moana was awesome. Like, it's the last movie I thought was good in animation was probably like How to Train Your Dragon and then like Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid and Aladdin.
Yes.
Anyways, I didn't mean to sidetrack you. Yes, make more rock movies, man. No, make it. Yeah, he should do them all.
Well, he's in these, and then he was just in that movie you said, and then we're getting another Fast and the Furious movie. He's all over the place.
Yeah, he could get stretched in. Like, I haven't watched all the Fast and the Furious movies. I kind of skip around. I get to them on DVD. I'm not up to date on all of them. But, like, I don't know, Fast and the Furious, for some people, are kind of like Resident Evil is for myself. Like, I can just keep watching them. Like, this next Resident Evil movie, it'll be a 10 out of 10. Even if it's bad, it'll be a 10 out of 10. As long as she goes around and kills things, and it's just Mila Jovovich being her killing stuff, I'm cool with it.
I think my favorite out of that series was the prison one. I actually didn't see the one before it because I heard it was bad. Like the one where like they get augmented reality or whatever and they try to make it look like the video game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, as far as weakest ones, like I said, you're right. It's not like any of them are like gonna win awards, but like they're pretty solid. I think Matt would probably agree if he's listening that like Resident Evil 5 might be our favorite video game of all time.
Matt actually tweeted at us and said, I was asking for our thoughts on the new Resident Evil game coming out on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's pumped about it because he downloaded the free gameplay on PS4, I think, and he tried the demo out, and yeah, he loved it. The only thing is, I'm not a first-person shooter kind of person. I like third-person games.
I'm not a big horror person. I'll try the first-person games. I'm not big at, like, jump scares are fine every now and then, but I don't know. I've played through some of the Resident Evil games, and the weirdest thing for me is how the lore sort of shifts back and forth. Like, sometimes it's a cult, sometimes it's the Z-Virus. I mean, I know that Raccoon City game that came out, I think that was the last one that came out, actually went over really well. And this game at least looks interesting. Like, zombie hillbillies, it almost reminds me of, like, a redneck version of The Shining.
Right.
Okay. Where like you have a bunch, or maybe like The Hills Have Eyes, where like you're running around that. It looks like you're running around this house, and you have a bunch of like rednecks trying to eat you.
Right.
This looks fun.
I mean, I don't know, man. Anything can happen. It works because I don't know, man. You still got my brain jammed from Will Smith being a flying elephant.
Oh gosh.
Like, I can't recover from that. Like, we didn't even fact check you on that because why would you? Like, I have no reason to fact check that. Like, it's either going to be the most amazing thing that's ever happened in my life that Will Smith is Dumbo, or how could you make up a lie like that? But we didn't even fact check you on that.
Well, updates have come out on that one. It looks like he's moving away from the main role of Dumbo, and he's going to be the father of one of the, like, he's still going to be a protagonist in the movie. But Tom Hanks has been announced as the antagonist, and the antagonist is going to be the ringleader.
I can see Tom Hanks as that.
So you're going to have evil Tom Hanks with like a curly mustache and a whip and hitting on animals.
That's what I mean.
Oh my god.
And the timing on this is weird because Ringling Brothers just shut down. Like they have their last shows in New York, and those are all sold out, and then after that they're done.
Wow, I only went to one. I was in like sixth grade, I think. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we actually talked about that. Was that Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, about how that was something everybody did as a kid, and the fact that isn't going to be around anymore. What's next, man? Like, you're not going to have the circus anymore. People are already on all over like SeaWorld because of the Blackfish movie. These are kind of big deals.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be able to go to a petting zoo anymore.
Right. What will I do with my future spawn? Not take him to the circus.
You're going to be eating deep fried chicken shell tacos while watching Will Smith fly around with an elephant. That's what you're going to be doing.
They're going to be 300 pounds.
Like,
I'm going to eat so many of them.
My favorite petting zoo story was when I went to Tennessee. And this was the weirdest petting zoo ever.
They had
kangaroos. They had goats. No. They had this weird, I guess they bred a donkey with a zebra.
A zonkey?
It was a zonkey.
Oh, no. Come on.
And then they also had horse rides. And the kangaroo was the meanest thing ever. He would just rear back and try to pee on people.
Rude.
How do you bait a kangaroo? Like, what do they eat? Like, what do you get them to come over with to pet them?
They had one of those weird, like, quarter dispenser things, like, that they use for gumballs, only it was these weird pellets. And he'd reach his little hand out, and he wouldn't try to box you, which would have been adorable.
Adorable and
where are the boxing kangaroos anymore?
I know, because the world's falling apart, I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
Was there a baby in the pouch? Like, was there a baby, like, what do they
call
them? Jelly?
Little jelly?
Yeah, man, see, you're smart.
No, this was a dude kangaroo.
This is a dude kangaroo. Okay, I guess they don't carry around their jellies.
No.
If I had a pouch, I'd carry around a joey.
Right? Aww. Or carry around more tacos.
Yeah, right. It's
and you can keep your tacos warm.
Right. Hey, Art, you're a Rage Against the Machine fan, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think I saw that on your profile. If you guys are going to, like, the next concert, like, for you, maybe it's Rage Against the Machine, like, which, like, X-Men would you take with you? Or even Marvel. But, like, which X-Men would you think would be a good person to take to, like, a concert with you?
Oh.
That's a rough one.
I don't know.
Or if it's hard, go with any comic book person. Because I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking, like, DC, you know Hourman?
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, like, if you took Hourman, and he has that, like, drug he takes every hour, like, Miraclo, or isn't it something like that? And then you go see, like, a Guar concert.
But
I think, like, either that or, like, Andrew W.K. with Jubilee or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
I have no idea.
That's a tough one, because I feel like Deadpool would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he just sort of fit in, right?
Oh, yeah, especially a Guar concert.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Logan and or Wolverine would just sort of... It'd depend on the concert for him. It'd almost have to be, like, a classic rock concert. Like, I'd almost want to go see, like, Heart or Styx or something with him.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
But when it comes to Rage Against the Machine, Colossal would be great. Like, to see him in some sort of mosh pit... and just sort of watch him stand there, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that's how I usually... Some concerts are like that. You find that one person to stare at, and it makes it more entertaining, you know?
One of my favorite concerts I went to was one of my first metal concerts, and there was this security guard actually down there on the floor to help make sure things didn't get too crazy. He was...
Right.
Giant Samoan dude, probably, like, me plus a friend wide...
Oh, gosh.
And when things did get too rowdy, we just sort of hid behind him, and it was great. So another bonus of having Colossus with you is if things get too crazy for you, you have a giant metal wall to hide behind.
Right. That's
true.
We all need a giant metal wall sometimes.
All right, then. Well, thanks for calling in this morning. This was awesome. Good luck with eating
thanks,
that taco.
Guys,
hopefully it doesn't give you a heart attack.
Matt and I are going to see Resident Evil, and we'll talk to you guys about that.
Yeah, well, you guys have a PS4. Use that share button and do a live playthrough. Let us know how it goes.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely.
Sweet. So we'll catch you next week. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Take care, guys.
That was Tim from the Not So Much But Us show. Calling for a little bit of geeky news on 89.9 KGRGFM. Love talking to those dudes. Stay tuned. We'll be back. You're listening to The Buzz.
This my house.
I know what you really want.
You're cordially invited, bitch.
This is Fun Facts
with the Danica.
Ready for some facts?
I'm so sorry that started off so weird. I have done a lot of drugs today.
89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we figured we'd do some fun facts this morning.
Yeah.
Because fun facts are fun.
Hey there, little snowflakes. You're going to learn about Taco Bell today.
Oh, man. in case you weren't eating breakfast... Get ready, because you'll either get really hungry or really sick.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So, fun fact number one, it's named after the founder. That would be Glenn Bell, a California entrepreneur who owned a miniature golf course and a hot dog stand. Not a taco stand, I might add.
So the dude's name isn't Glenn Taco, then?
No.
Oh.
I know, right? He owned a hot dog stand among other ventures before hitting it big with tacos. So, that's fun.
Does it... Like, do you have a fun fact on how they come up with their names?
I don't know.
Most of it sounds, like, made up.
I don't know yet. The tacos were originally 19 cents.
Ooh. Like, you can't even go to a bar on Taco Tuesdays and get them for right? anything less than a dollar anymore.
And apparently customers pronounced them tacos at first.
It's like my grandpa. I have my grandpa on my mom's side. He's from Georgia. And last time he came up, we actually went to a Taco Bell. And he ordered a quesadilla.
A quesadilla?
A quesadilla.
A quesadilla?
And I'm just like, oh.
I love saying that.
I love you, Grandpa. I love you so much. You special little guy.
Apparently the original logo was a hot mess.
Yeah?
The original Taco Bell logo was a colorful, lopsided creation depicting a man sleeping under a giant sombrero while sitting atop a bell.
That's mildly racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
After PepsiCo took over, yeah, they sold it to PepsiCo, it quickly came up with a cleaner concept, a bell placed over the company name, as Larry Higbee, the senior vice president of marketing for Taco Bell, told Advertising Age, we needed to look more mainstream.
Yeah. And I can't imagine a Taco Bell without the bell anymore.
Like, yeah.
The sombrero, I could understand a sombrero, but it's not Taco Sombrero.
Taco Sombrero.
Sombrero Bell.
Sombrero Bell. The Taco Bell Chihuahua never paid off.
I love that thing, though.
So eager to turn around its flagging sales in the mid-90s, Taco Bell executives put big hopes into a tiny package. In 1997, I almost said 79, I'm dyslexic, they put out a series of ads featuring the now iconic Chihuahua, whose name was Gidget, spouting the line, Yo quiero Taco Bell. The ad became a cultural sensation and spawned further taglines like Viva Gordita and Drop the Chalupa. There's just one problem. The ad didn't inspire people to actually buy more tacos and chalupas.
It inspired my grandpa and my dad's side to buy a little stuffed chihuahua that actually said those phrases, though.
I had one, too.
Oh.
In 2000, Taco Bell pulled the plug on the concept. Making matters worse, the company had to settle a $42 million lawsuit in 2003, brought by two ad men who claimed they came up with the idea. Gidget, meanwhile, kept going like a true professional, making cameos in Geico ads and starring in movies like Legally Blonde 2 before passing away at the ripe old age of 15.
Wait, so the same chihuahua that was in Legally Blonde was the same one in the Taco Bell commercials?
Yes.
That's pretty legit.
Look at you, little Gidget.
Like, how do you say you come up with that idea first? That's like Taco Bell suing the Chihuahua movie, or the, I forgot what it was called, it's the one with George Lopez.
I don't know.
That's like them suing them for having a kind of racist, racially stereotyped Chihuahua.
Yeah.
You can't do that, man. You can't, I don't know.
So, discontinued items include the chili burger, the Bell Beefer, and the Blackjack Taco. Taco Bell didn't always think outside the bun. It offered a chili burger on its original menu and followed up in the 70s with the Bell Beefer, which resembled a sloppy joe made with seasoned taco beef. The Blackjack Taco appeared around Halloween 2009 and quickly disappeared, much to the consternation of Bell fanatics. The loudest support for a comeback is the Beefy Crunch Burrito movement. Yes. These folks are not messing around.
So, I'm known to be a little bit weird with my foods. I'll go to Subway and order the pizza. I love the Subway pizza for no reason. I'll also go to like a Pizza Hut or like the Domino's and order their sandwiches. But I wouldn't trust a burger from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
For the record, it's seasoned beef, quote unquote, contains 88% beef.
Oh.
More than I thought,
like,
right?
12% seasonings?
Maybe.
Each one's a different season.
I don't know. In 2011, an Alabama law firm brought a class action lawsuit against Taco Bell alleging the company's seasoned beef only contained 35% beef, making it unfit under U.S. Department of Agriculture guidelines. Rather than shy away from the issue, Taco Bell leaned in. It spent close to $4 million on advertising to shore up its reputation, including a print ad that read, "Thank you for suing us," and including a list of their ingredients. After Taco Bell went public with the 88% figure, the law firm dropped the suit.
Well, this is around the same time that, like, a lot of fast food restaurants came under fire. I remember this was
that
around the same time.
Mad cow disease, though.
There's mad cow disease. There was a bunch of E. coli. That was around the same time, like, what was it? Chipotle was having the E. coli issue.
Yeah.
And then it came out that Subway...
Chipotle was just, like, 2 years ago, though.
There was also the thing where Subway was having issues where people were claiming the bread had ingredients in it that were also used in, like, yoga mats.
Oh, God. So last and most important fact. It's now serving wine and beer.
Really? So you can, like, instead of having to get drunk at a bar and then go to Taco Bell, you can just do both?
Yeah. The good news, Taco Bell now serves booze. The bad news, for most folks, it's only serving at two new cantina locations, one in Chicago, the other in San Francisco, opened last fall. And the new concepts target those elusive creatures known as millennials who frequent urban areas and want something closer to a Chipotle experience.
There you go. Well, those were your fun facts this morning. Matt from the Not So Much Better Show actually tweeted us at the BuzzKJRG. He's saying bring the blackjack taco back. Can't say I've ever had it, but man, if it's that good, I'll allow it.
Only if it's sponsored by Jack Black.
You're listening to The Buzz on KJRG FM, KJRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. We'll be back after Pete Today by the Aquabats.
Get ready, because it's story time, it's story time, story time on The Buzz. KJRG 89.9 FM.
It is indeed time for story time on The Buzz. I'm excited because we haven't done this one in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's where Danica's got a story, but it's missing some words because words are hard.
They're very hard.
Like, I need some adjectives and some nouns and occasionally a body part.
Yeah.
So if you want to tweet us at the Buzz KGRG while you're listening, man, I could use some help thinking of words because I'm bad at words. I can barely speak. You ready, Danica?
Yes.
Yeah.
I need an adverb.
An adverb? Hmm. I don't know. Pick something easy. Like, adverbs are hard.
Call me a cousin.
We'll do gently.
Oh. Okay. Adjective.
An adjective, huh? Sensual.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
Yeah, this is gonna get weird quick. Can you need some, like, Barry White up in here?
Noun.
A noun? Hmm. A noun. We'll do baby.
Okay.
It's baby making music. Barry White.
Plural noun.
Plural noun? Mm-hmm. Storks. Storks are a thing.
Yeah, a mood killer.
Oh. Is there a story behind that?
No.
Where did the stork hurt you?
Plural noun.
Another plural noun?
Mm-hmm.
We'll do buns. I like hot dog buns and burger buns. I'm a bread person.
Celebrity.
Celebrity. Ryan Reynolds.
I thought you were going to say Barry White.
No, that'd been too obvious.
Oh.
Shout out to that dude coughing. Can I change my answer to that guy?
No. I already wrote Ryan Reynolds. Noun.
Noun?
Mm-hmm.
Do hard hat. Hard hats are important for safety.
It's true.
Noun. Another noun?
Uh-huh.
Another one. Oh, my God. I'll have to find that sounder again.
Yes.
Let's do Let's do chains.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, one chain, two chains. Shout out to that guy, I guess.
Noun.
Noun, huh? Let's do a place. We'll do Taco Bell. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Verb.
A verb? We'll do munch.
Okay. Noun.
Another one.
Another noun. Let's do the KGRG studios. I'm sorry. Was that too long of a noun?
I already wrote it.
Okay.
plural noun.
A plural noun?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Jadins. Jawdins.
Wait. What?
Not to be confused with the shoe Jordans.
Please spell that again. I'm very confused.
Jawdins. Shout out to Riff Raff.
I thought you said Juns, and I was like, what is that? Noun.
A noun?
Another one.
Another one.
Another noun, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's do war. What is it good for?
Noun.
Absolutely nothing.
Noun.
Grenade.
Oh,
this went from sensual to, like, super brutal real quick.
Part of the body.
I was naming off a lot of part of the bodies last night with Thursday. Now I need to think of one. Let's do the tibia. Take the tibia for 500, Alex.
celebrity female.
Celebrity female. I can't think of her name. I'm thinking like Pam from The Office, but I can't think of like the actress's name.
Jenna Fisher.
There you go. I actually finally like watched it all the way through season one through the last season. Kind of regret watching the last season, but there you go.
Adjective.
Adjective. We'll do flamboyant.
Okay. I don't know how to spell this, but
they can't see how you spell on the radio, luckily.
Cancer.
And if you want to not be judged by your spelling, join Journalism 110 at Green River College. It's greenriver.edu, where you only have to talk. Even then, you don't need to talk that well.
Yeah. You ready for the story?
Yeah.
So, it's Lois, wife, mother, piano teacher.
Oh, my.
Right. One of the most gently asked questions among women is, how can I take care of my family, myself, and my career without going sensual? Oh, God. Lois Griffin has nipped this problem in the baby.
Oh!
Every morning she wakes her storks and makes some scrambled buns before they leave for Ryan Reynolds High School.
Delicious!
I want to go to Ryan Reynolds High School.
Right?
She makes sure her husband has a clean hard hat to wear and sends him off to work. Then Lois cleans the entire chains from top to bottom and prepares for the afternoon's Taco Bell lessons. Oh, you learned those at Ryan Reynolds High School. When her first student shows up, Lois places Stewie in the munch pen.
Dude, I want a munch pen. Like, in the entire pen where you can just sit down and munch on tacos and stuff? That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. She changes his KGRG studios and feeds him a can of strange string Jordans between lessons.
Oh, now encoding flavored.
By the time the rest of the family gets home, Lois has money in her war, a gourmet grenade on the table, and a smile on her tibia. Oh, move over, Jenna Fisher. Lois Griffin is the most flamboyant mom on the block.
I mean, I guess if you stare at the tibia long enough, it'll wink at you?
That's scary.
Story time on The Buzz, KJRG 89.9 FM. Yeah, stay tuned. We'll be back with our newest segment, The Situation.
Oh, my.
After a little bit of Neck Deep. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 FM. That was Black Sheep by H2O.
Oh.
As opposed to by Gatorade.
Haterade.
Whoa, buddy.
Just kidding.
Well, it's time for our newest segment, The Situation.
From Jersey Shore?
I was thinking about that. I was like, do we name it after him or not?
We got a situation.
Yep. That's exactly what we got. We got a slew of situations. And if you want to chime in, you can call 253-833-5004 or tweet us at TheBuzzKGRG. We're also on that Facebook thing.
That Facebook.
Hit us up anytime during the show, like even while we're on air, man. Just be like, yo, you guys are idiots. Of course you do the thing. Or maybe you don't do the thing. I don't know, man. You do you. But our first situation is, you ready for this, Danica?
Uh-huh.
All right. You have an unlimited supply of energy drinks, but your skin is slowly turning green.
I thought you were going to say, but you have to drink them all in one sitting.
Oh, I'm done. Like, I'm down. There was one time, like, the year after high school, I was in a huge energy drink phase. Like, I would wake up and just down one of those really big Red Bulls.
Yeah.
And then I end up racing a bus on a bike, and I beat it.
Quinn,
like,
so precious.
It was pretty legit.
I'm going to say no, because I don't drink energy drinks that much. Like, I don't even drink coffee on a regular basis, so I don't need an unlimited supply.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to say yeah, because, like, unlimited energy drinks and my skin turns green? For sure. 33% said they wouldn't. 67% said they would. Hey, Danica, you want to grab that real quick? Yeah, I think that might be our friends. Next thing we have here. Your blog gets 2 million unique hits daily, but the first comment on every entry is always first, and you can never remove it. Okay. Well, that'd be dope. And honestly, I was one of those people who would write first on blogs and, like, YouTube videos and stuff. It's pretty legit. So, I'd say, yeah, sure. 83% of the internet said they would. 17% said they wouldn't. And we'll have this be our last situation here, because it sounds like our friends from Waking Things might be on campus. Or at least we got a phone call. That'd be cool. And definitely want to stay tuned, because our friends from Waking Things have their interview. That was Chris. Sweet. So, we got to go hunt them down. So, we'll have this be our last one. You can time travel at will to any point in time, but you will always end up at the least interesting location for that time period. I mean, you just sort of always end up in Nebraska, right? Like, whatever happened in Nebraska. Depending on the time, travel might not be an issue, so why not? 64% of the internet said they would. 36% of the internet said they would not. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We got your news after a little bit of war by Sum 41. This hour's news is brought to you by Waking Things at their project, and that's going to be tomorrow.
Ooh.
I'm super excited for that show. If you want to win tickets, hurry, we have some tickets available. Call 253-833-5004. And Chris is in studio. He's hanging out. Make sure you stay tuned in for that interview, because there's always a fun talking to them. I'm excited. And they put a lot of work into this album. We've been playing a little bit this morning. We're going to continue playing it, because this is a really sweet album. But that show is tomorrow at the Vera Project with... I just had the lineup in front of me. Oh, man.
With somebody else.
It's got Fair Lady and Your Parents. Is it Your Parents or Your Parents? Your Parents. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Oh, man. Let's go and get some news, shall we?
Okay.
Let's get into some news. First news story we have, a man tried to sell property that he didn't own. And that's wrong. Okay.
Okay.
And I've actually had this happen to me before. Well, I didn't bite into the catfish, but it happened. But a Schenectady man, that's a funny word.
Schenectady.
He faces up to 30 years behind bars after police say he tried to sell a piece of property he didn't own. The property was valued at more than $1 million. He was found guilty Thursday in Albany County Court on 15 charges, among them grand larceny, burglary, and falsifying records. Prosecutors said he illegally entered a building on Central Avenue in Colony, then tried to sell it using fake documents. He'll be sentenced later in February. But yeah, when I was first looking at moving out of my parents' house, obviously the first thing you do is you go onto those websites and you check out Craigslist, right?
Yeah.
It's a reasonable thing to do. They have some like rooms for rent and houses for rent, stuff like that. The first place we were looking into, it looked too good to be true, and it was. It was this house down in Puyallup. Mm-hmm. Rent was super cheap. It was like 2 bedrooms, perfect for what we needed. And dude was just like, yeah, just send us your deposit, and then we'll show you around the house. And we're like, or you can meet us there. He's like, it won't be me. It'll be this other dude. It'll be my friend. But he doesn't have the keys.
You had to send a deposit to, like, look at the house initially?
Yeah, and...
That's sketch.
The longer that conversation went on, the more ticked off that guy got.
That's not how real estate works.
No! So, if there's a deal that's too good to be true, don't buy into it, or at least, like, look into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Next news story we have, Uncle Ike's Pot Shop
is
for sale. And you know how much it's going for?
How much?
$50 million.
Huh.
That's right. If you ever wanted to own or get it in on Washington's pot industry, here's your chance. One of the first retail marijuana shops in Seattle, and one of the busiest, is now for sale. Uncle Ike's in Seattle has teamed up with Main Street Marijuana out of Vancouver, and the pair are offering an all-or-nothing deal to buy both of their businesses.
Oh, wow.
That's 3 Uncle Ike's marijuana stores in the Seattle area, plus 2 Main Street marijuana shops in Vancouver, and a 3rd in Longview. But becoming the owner will cost you, the price tag, it's $50 million. For, like, 6 shops isn't bad, though.
That's really not bad.
I mean, thought it was $50 million for one, but...
Yeah, that's what I thought at first.
But yeah, 6 isn't terrible.
It's a bundle. Bundle and save.
The weirdest part for pot shops currently, though, is they're not allowed to use they're not allowed to use banks. That's why most of them are, in fact, all of them are cash only. If you walk into a pot shop, they'll ask you to pay with cash, right?
That's
because you can't use a bank to scan credit cards. So if you ever want to get in on it, man, it'll only cost you, you know, $50 million. I got $50 million laying around, right?
Monopoly money, I mean, sure.
Maybe our next pledge drive. Who knows?
Yeah, okay.
Last news story we have. There's a hospital robot out there that's cleaning rooms with light.
That's cute.
Right? There's a new germ-fighting tool that can keep people from getting sick. It's a prime cold and flu season with a new tool, a high-tech robot that can not only protect against the viruses, but many others far more deadly. It's literally a breakthrough with light. It's called... Xanax, and it uses a UV light system to break through bad germs.
Wait, it's called Xanax?
X-E-N-E-X.
Oh, I thought you said Xanax.
Like, no, that's a whole different thing.
That's weird.
That'll cost you extra. Christ Hospital will be getting 5 of them delivered on Wednesday, January 18th, the largest number any hospital in Ohio will have. And this is interesting because, like, you see those those hotel rooms with black lights? And it's just gross. And then you go into those hospitals and you can see where, like, people have vomited. Sorry if you're eating your breakfast out there. You can see where people have blood all over the place. Because those are things that happen in hospitals. So if you can have, like, a chemical-free way of doing it, I know there are a lot of people who have allergies to chemicals.
Yeah, plus it smells weird.
Right? My mom, like, she can't deal with latex at all. She has a huge latex allergy. So, even for people who have to deal with cleaning that, it'll help out a ton. That's your news for this hour on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Stay tuned. We'll be back after a day to remember. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for our six pack, our top 6 list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And Danica, it's your turn to take care of things. What you got?
So, some more fan theories, because why not?
Yeah, we've been geeking out about fan theories all week.
Yeah.
They're always fun.
So, yeah.
Ready to hop into this thing or what?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Number 6. Scully is immortal. So along with the revived episodes of The X-File came a revived fan theory that first surfaced during the original episodes. Not only is Scully thought to be a believer under her tough skeptic exterior, sorry, I lost my realize. She is also probably immortal. During a Weremonster episode, Scully joked about her immortality, but the internet took it as a clue. Back in season 3, a psychic told Scully she wouldn't die when she and Mulder asked about their own deaths. It also theorized that she became immortal in season 6 after avoiding looking at death. She would therefore be able to save mankind perpetually from the creatures and ghouls haunting it.
Well, she also ended up with cancer at one point, though.
But did she die?
I mean, she got healed by an alien.
But did she die?
I guess not.
Yeah. Number 5. Toy Story 3 is about the Holocaust?
What?
Children's movies are not safe from weird fan theories either. Toy Story 3 has been compared to The Walking Dead and also with the Holocaust.
But nobody died!
And
I bawled like a baby during that movie, but nobody died.
Andy leaving for college symbolizes the Jews being left behind during the conquering of Europe by the Third Reich. The caterpillar room and trash chute in the movie are the incinerators and concentration camps. Some also amuse that the toys die in the incinerator and that the last scenes of the movie are their version of heaven. Oh.
But then they have a Christmas special.
In heaven?
This one doesn't stick with me, man. Like, yeah. That's a stretch. And does that make the giant bear dude Hitler?
Probably.
Oh.
Number 4. The Fresh Prince is dead. I've heard this one before. So, as with the... never mind. We didn't read this one because it was higher than 6. The sitcom has a depressing fan theory surrounding it. Supposedly, the altercation with the gang referred in the theme song led to Will's death, and the cab he's in doesn't take him to his uncle's house, but to heaven instead. His death could either be due to gang members beating him to death or his committing suicide after a severe beating. What is heaven? Well, that's a big house with friends and family. His parents make very rare visits. This happens, says the theory, when they visit Will's grave.
They visit Will's grave?
Yeah, that's... Well, like, in the theory, like...
Okay.
Because he only sees his parents, like, ever so often.
I'm not sure how much I can stick with that one, either. Those,
I've heard that one a lot, though.
Those weird, they were dead the entire time theories. They're interesting, and it's interesting to try to pick up where those come from, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how many legs that one has to stand on. Like, I almost believe that one less than the...
Toy Story Holocaust?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Call us at 253-833-5004. Let us know. Do you believe that Toy Story was actually based off the Holocaust? Do you believe that Will Smith's character is actually dead? It's 253-833-5004. Or at the BuzzKJRG on Facebook and on Twitter. That was part one of our six-pack. We'll be back with part two after another Waking Things track. This one's down below on 89.9 KJRG.
And now, back to the six-pack.
There we go. I'm good at buttons. 89.9 KJRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in part two of our six-pack.
That's true.
Our six-pack of fan theories, and Chris is joining in on this one. Hi, Chris.
Oh hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're all perky and stuff.
You know what? This is the first time I've been up. I was up at like 5:30 this morning, so it's been a while since I got up that early.
Look at you!
Yeah, I did my hair and everything.
So we're excited to have you up. You got your interview coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and get into some fan theories. Hey, Danica, you want to recap the last few?
Yeah, so Scully from The X-Files is immortal.
Okay.
Toy Story 3 is about the Holocaust.
Okay.
And Will Smith in The Fresh Prince is dead the whole time.
R.I.P. that guy.
Yeah. So, fun stuff. Death in the Holocaust.
Oh, man.
So
we're getting to number 3, I guess.
Number 3, Sandy in Greece. She's dead, too.
That one I've heard before.
I haven't. So, Grease is supposed to be a lighthearted musical, though with some serious and even dark moments. However, one fan theory has now turned the whole movie on its head, suggesting that Sandy was dead during the whole movie. This theory The theory has it that Sandy drowned on the beach. She nearly drowned is a lyric in Summer Nights, and Danny Zuko is unable to save her. The rest of the movie that plays out is Sandy's dream while she's in a coma, slowly becoming brain dead. At the end of the movie, when the happy couple flies away in an airborne red convertible, it symbolizes her flying off to heaven, and even darker theory suggests that Sandy commits suicide at the end of the movie and then flies off in the car with Danny.
Oh, man. So the red car is basically her getting her plug pulled.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you guys watch the live version they did on TV?
No.
It actually wasn't terrible. Like, the music was done really well. A lot of they even added in a couple of characters, but they brought back some characters from the original movie. I wasn't too sure about it going into it, but it was really exciting.
Nice.
I loved it.
You know, my only question, though, with Sandy being dead the entire movie is, like, if she's in a coma...
She's not dead.
No, that's fine. She can be in a coma and then die. That part I'm not upset about, but it's really just the idea that, like, so while she's in a coma, she basically writes the script for the movie. So, like, she's like, yeah, I'm going to go from a mousy girl to, you know, a sex pot, sex symbol, whatever, and totally win the guy over, and then we fly away together. Ooh. It's, you know, I could believe it if she's like, oh, yeah, like, she just goes directly into the person that she wants to be when she goes into the coma because, you know, dream state or whatever. But when she goes from the coma, she proceeds to still be herself and then evolve into somebody else. I don't know.
She puts herself through a lot of stuff,
yeah,
too.
She has the power, I think. Isn't that how comas, dream coma? I don't know.
We'll have to consult Leonardo DiCaprio on that one.
Dream within a grease.
Oh, gosh. Number two, Mary Poppins is a Time Lord.
I've heard that one, too.
So there have been at least 12 different reasons given on several websites about how Mary Poppins could be a Time Lord. This includes her mode of transportation, flying around with the help of an umbrella. She is British. That's a reason on its own, I guess. She makes friends everywhere she lands. She only stays where she is until a problem is solved. She has a bag that apparently has no limit on the inside. Maybe she is not even Mary Poppins at all, but the Doctor himself. There is also the telling bow tie that she wears, further adding to this theory.
She does wear a bow tie, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
It's been a hot minute since I've sat down and watched that movie.
Did Mary Poppins come out before Doctor Who came out?
I don't know.
I mean, was there a black and white Doctor Who?
Yes.
Okay, well, Mary Poppins was in full Technicolor, so, I mean, but that was a feature film, and then Doctor Who's always been TV, so I don't know if that matters.
I don't know.
Thanks to the power of the internet.
I think color TV, I think, came out when my dad was born, and I think it was like 1964, and I could be way off, but I think that might have been when it came out.
You're actually spot on. Yeah. Mary Poppins was 1964, but Doctor Who was 1963.
Ooh.
So like an entire year.
Mary Poppins is Doctor Who.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a little plausible.
It is. That, I mean.
Yeah.
You got for
oh, yeah.
One?
Oh, no. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting secret intel. I've got an earpiece in right now. Yeah. No. What about the Mary Poppins book? Right?
Oh, I don't know.
When that came out. That came out way before the movie, clearly.
Well, yeah.
So is the description of Mary Poppins fitting from the movie to the book? So if it is, then maybe Doctor Who is actually Mary Poppins.
Oh, gosh.
Like Mary Poppins died and then became a dude?
It's too early for this thought process.
No way. This is what fan theories are all about.
Number one, John Candy is the devil.
Oh, okay. You just shut your mouth right there.
Home Alone is a classic Christmas movie. That was until someone on Reddit surmised that old Nick might play a role in the movie as well. Gus Polanski, played by John Candy, is a crossroads demon or the devil and takes Kate McAllister's soul so she may be with her son who's forgotten at home. Kate states that she would sell her soul to the devil in the movie after realizing her son wasn't there with her. And some have taken this to be literal. In another movie, John Candy plays the devil, which is taken as further proof of his demonic presence in Home Alone.
Okay.
So, what's the movie? The other movie that he plays the devil in?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
And don't say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's not that.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
I think it's important to know what the second movie is because you can't just connect the two movies.
Let's see here. There's definitely a picture of him as the devil.
Oh.
I just want to watch.
Oh, you know what
Buck
it is?
Now.
No, it is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because Steve Martin's sleeping in the seat.
Yeah, and it's just a picture of John Candy looking back in a car.
Yeah, it's the scene where John Candy's doing the mess around. He's like singing. He's got his cigar, or his cigarette, or whatever, and he's dancing in the car. He's singing the mess around, and then he drives on the wrong side of the road, and then Steve Martin wakes up and is like doing the flashing thing, and John Candy's like starts laughing. He's like ah ha ha ha, and then Steve Martin just pictures him as the devil. That I don't know if that.
I don't know.
That doesn't hold up. That doesn't hold any weight.
But that was our six pack.
I'd almost believe that Macaulay Culkin was the devil before John Candy because there was a movie he did later where he's this really, really mean kid that, like, he had this doll called Mr. Highway that he'd push off of overpasses on the cars. He'd shoot animals with nail guns.
Yeah, that's The Good Son.
Yeah.
And it had Elijah Wood in it.
Yeah. Oh my God! It did.
Yeah. Elijah Wood was the actual kid who was
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, and he was the nice one, and then everybody thought that Macaulay Culkin was the good son, but he was actually a real smoking
cigarettes. And, yeah.
Real piece of work.
Oh boy.
That Macaulay Culkin.
After that movie, he didn't get much work, did he?
I mean, but he dated Mila Kunis for like 11 years.
There you go.
Fun fact.
As your six-pack for this morning, our top six fan theories. We'll be back with our interview with Chris from Waking Things, 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.